Father, we worship you. Take us in, Lord. Bring us into that fullness, we pray. Bring us into that fullness, we pray. As one body, with one mind and in one accord, speaking the same things, hearing the same things. Take us in, Father. Balakarese diallo. Monda karachi maso. Blessed be the Lamb. Let not one be left out. Let not one be estranged, separated, go their own way. Father, seal us with the Holy Ghost. Put your seal upon us, Lord. Carterize us. Seal us inside Christ. This place of unity in you and following you produces, not through our strength, but through yours. Bakaraso. Biolokrese diapa. Bondele bedibidiaso. Ge akarese. Nahileha odele mense forosete. Have I not said? And is it not written? Perfect love cast out fear, saith the Spirit of grace. He who fears is not yet made perfect in love. He who has torment is not yet made perfect in my love. Bakarosatene. Beyalakorosato. That which I placed within you is perfect. Now let that which is perfect come to perfection in you, driving out all ill will, driving out all fear, driving out all things that contend with fellowship with me, saith the Spirit of grace. And my love inside of you brings forth that perfecting that you're asking for. It'll even for whatever season is necessary cause you to allow you to go to that place. For many fight your own self, not giving room to yourself for that place. I say, my love casts out all fear. I mean all fear, saith the Spirit of grace. Makalasetia. Belimanda la brosta la bacate frastio. Belimendisitiete. Father, Father, Daddy God. The Shulamite woman said in the Song of Solomon, 70 great men of valor are around Solomon's bed to keep back the terror of the night. Father, I thank you that this perfect image of Christ and his bride in the earth, that chamber of intimacy, is surrounded by all of everything that you are. That chamber of intimacy, that place of intimacy that every one of us who know you through a new nature are able to go to that place and fellowship with you. And that fellowship in that place is surrounded by 70 great men of valor, which is a picture of your hedge, your absolute hedge over our life in a place of intimacy and worship and fellowship. Father, surround us. Surround us in that place. While we're in that chamber, everything that would go bump in the night, everything that could contend with us, everything that could destroy our future, on the outside of these walls of intimacy, there is a hedge. In every direction, those that are facing outward, looking into the night. Father, it's your Spirit. Nothing, Lord, can destroy us inside of you. Baka echa tombre setie vodere che sete hechi macro soho. If you knew what my perfect love could do for you, each one of you would run to that place. Try to discover that place as hidden treasure. You'd seek it day and night if you knew the absolute benefits and even the fringe benefits that it brought to the ordinary life. But the pools of peace that it would bring you to are pools to swim in, to immerse yourself in, to live in. I have not given permission nor ordained that one moment of your life, not a microsecond of your life, would be absent from peace, from overwhelming peace. I teach no lessons in distress. I teach no lessons in anxiety and fear, torment. I have nothing to do with that. But my path is a path of life and peace. And those who enter in must come in at the gate of intimacy and fellowship, worship in my presence, saith the Spirit of grace. Hallelujah, Jesus. Bless you, Jesus. Bless you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Would you just lift your hands? Whatever way that you do, just thank Him for. We worship you, Jesus. We bless you. We bless you. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. We worship you, Jesus. Amen. We're glad for that freedom. Amen. I want you to say hi and hug and tell somebody you're glad for that freedom. Amen. We praise and magnify you. Come on, everybody. Let's stay together. Let's go in with praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Makara sola balabakora sate. Bele barabalo kresele bere bere diasoto. Bless you, Jesus. Bless you, Jesus. We magnify you, Lord. We magnify you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. We magnify you, glorify you. We exalt you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. We praise and exalt you, Jesus. We praise and exalt you, Jesus. We praise and exalt you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. We praise and exalt you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Worship you, Jesus. Worship you, Jesus. Worship you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. We glorify you. We praise and magnify you. We praise and magnify you. We exalt you, Jesus. We praise and exalt you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. We praise and magnify you. Blessed be the Lamb of God. We praise and worship you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. We worship you, Lord. We worship you, Lord. We worship you, Lord. We glorify you. We glorify you. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. We worship you, Lord. We worship you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, we worship you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. We magnify you. We glorify you. We exalt you, Jesus. Worthy is the Lord. Worthy is the Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, we worship you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Malaborosat. Mando kedese. Beleboroso telemensiti. Borokelese. Vorebelebaso. Manda kedese tiene. Maharese tiene. This is my time to meet with you, saith the Spirit of grace. And since you've sectioned off this time on this day and on these days, these Sundays, give me all. Give me all. Why would you come and do anything but give me all, saith the Spirit of grace? From the moment that you come in the door to the moment that you leave, why would you do anything but give me all? Even every necessary thing. And I know that there are necessary things. Now I'm going to talk to you like he talks. Now this is me talking now. Because God doesn't talk in these, thous, and thuses. He just talks plain. That's what prophecy is. Even in the things of necessity, where there's little ones and children involved, and I know, because I helped you create these, I know these things are very necessary. Life is necessary. But in that, there is grace for everything. There's grace in a service. There's grace in your life. My strength in that, to stay focused. The enemy would love to bring you in here and do everything possible to distract you while you are here. Then many wonder why they're not going places in Christ. Why they're not going any place. And many stand on the outside of the church, refusing to come in. Refusing to come in and sit down. Palakorosete, yes, sir. If they would just eat a few meals and allow this to totally be digested to them, it would begin to drive out the poison, the strong toxins in their spiritual anatomy, which has them thinking and doing things contrary to unity, saith the Spirit of grace. For many stand on the outside. Few come in, but those who come in are full. Those who come in are replenished. Those who come in are restored. Do not think that you have left Satan or the flesh outside of these walls. He follows you in and he sits down beside you. And he bids for your time and he bids for your mind and he bids for your energy and absorbs most of everything that's in atmosphere, so that there's very little profit that's transferred over to you. Now this is amazing to me. I'm coming back out to comment. I hear this. Never really heard this before. About 10% is the average margin that most who come into my house ever receive from what is actually there. In the atmosphere, there is so much to be plugged into. In the atmosphere, there's healing, there's deliverance, there's restoration. The mind can be restored. The things that you call vices, strongholds, those things can be absolutely taken out of the way, extinguished. But for so little to be plugged in and so little for me to be able to get over to you, even though I am an almighty source. Have you not read in my Gospels that Jesus could do no mighty miracles, no mighty works in that place because of their unbelief? I'm still God. I can do all things, but I am limited. I'm limited to you based on your obedience to me. And I can get nothing over to you, although you stand on the other side of the door and cry out, I need deliverance, I need help, I need this and I need that. And I am standing on this side. You don't have to wait long hours for me. I'm ready. I'm the one who approaches you. I'm the one who teaches you that I'm ready, willing, and able to give you all. But you're distracted. You're so distracted that when you come and then when you go, and even at the best moment, and you say, that was wonderful, I got something, still, at the most, you've not received nearly what my atmosphere could provide for you. About 10% is the average of what anyone gets out of the atmosphere of any given service, saith the Spirit of grace. Is there more? I could only use these equations to get over to you how much more there is. In truth, one given service in my presence with you fully invested could begin a path that when you walked out, you'd feel 100 pounds lighter. Many testify, and which is a true phenomenon, that the day, the hour they got born again, there was a lightness, a heaviness came off of them. It almost felt physical. This is true, because when the spirit man is changed, you're seated in another place. And the burden of sin is so exhilarating. The burden that is lifted is so exhilarating that the body even feels the effects of it. But do you think that particular experience, that particular phenomenon is supposed to end at the new birth? I've given you a spirit like mine. Then I've baptized you with myself. And anything that comes against you in this life, I never meant for it to stay. It never came from me if it brought heaviness. If it brought desperation, why, saith the Spirit of grace? Why, saith the Spirit of grace? Why would so many be so willing to endure the temptation? To endure and say, this thing hasn't left me yet, but I'm willing to go on. Finish it now. Live the rest of your life outside of this temptation. Choose to step across, for it's all in one choice. All that I gave through the inroads to bring about your perfection, I gave them as a complementary, something complementary. These were the complementary things that I gave. Even the Holy Spirit, which was to bear you up. Pray the unsearchable riches of glory. He was a compliment. His gift to you was a compliment, because all things were set free at the cross. The moment that you were born again, all things, you were set free from all things. No fear, no vice, nothing could hold you. And to your body, nothing could control your body, as in sickness or disease. So many say, but these things are a long ways away from us, and we do not see them. They are not. They are not a long ways. They are standing at the door. Bakarese. When so little is invested, and there is no anger on my side of this door, but just a heavy heart as a father would. As a father would have a heart, parakore, to watch my little ones suffer day after day. And my little ones, I'm not speaking of adolescents or those in diapers. I'm talking about 30-year-olds and 40-year-olds and 50-year-olds. And some of you will walk out of here again today with the same vice in you, with the same level of flesh, even questioning these very words, saith the Spirit of grace. But I will meet you every time that I possibly can. I will meet you every time I possibly can. But my will is to circumvent your life. My will is to circumvent you with great grace and with love and peace and compassion. Why tell another soul of your stronghold? Why tell another soul? Why even lift another petition to me when that thing is buried, present tense? But the reality of that freedom is your obedience to step into it. The reality of that obedience is for you to step into everything that the cross provided. Bakaraso. Belebaraso la kadesete. This food is free. My meal is provided to whosoever will. Let him come. Let him come to the waters. Let him drink freely. None were turned out. Bakorose. Hallelujah, Jesus. We glorify you. Bedakoroso. Bire balatioma. Fundetia blaso tiele. Punsa tiene. Jesus. Father, I just worship you, Lord. And I speak life. And we release life to this body in the name of Jesus. For in this atmosphere that you prophesied, Lord, is everything that the supper, the Matthew 20 supper provided. Everything, Lord, every single thing is provided in this. We worship you. To every body, to every physical body that's in this house that is fighting any disease, anything that is not health, we tap in. Anything that is a contradiction to life and life more abundantly, any pain, anything that's abnormal to health, anything that's chronic, anything that's been there for years or months or days or weeks. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I release your glory. It's already here. I said that, Lord, just as a point of contact. I said that, Lord, as only a point of contact for them to believe. And they are believing. To those that are investing their hearts now, I say to you, in Jesus' name, as the priest would report to the leper, you're cleansed. As the priest would examine the leper and say, you're cleansed, you're whole. I pronounce over them healing. To anyone in here that has an addiction, To anyone in here who has a vice, to anyone in here that feels like they cannot stop, Lord, that is a lie from hell. And the part of their flesh that believes that lie, I pray in Jesus' name, that, Lord, that you cauterize, that you burn off that part of the flesh. The Spirit of truth has come. Jesus, you have come. And your winnowing fork is in your hand. You will burn the chaff with unquenchable fire. In the name of Jesus, I pray that those who are desiring, Lord, I pray that in Jesus' name that they will truly be willing to go momentarily into the furnace. I pray that the furnace will burn the chaff. It will burn those vices. It will burn those addictions. It will burn those things out of their life. It will burn jealousies. It will burn debate. It will burn perversion, Lord. In Jesus' name. I pray they will be willing, Lord, to step into the furnace. That they will love not their life, and they will let go through your grace. In Jesus' name. Your grace is here. Your grace is here, Jesus. Your grace is here, Jesus. Terabalombrese lekeresete. Jesus. 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 Jesus.
What has been said already? Come, come into me. Because that is where the victory is. It's getting into that intimate place, spending the time, not just coming for a couple minutes, but it's taking your thoughts captive, and it's coming into me and allowing me to do the work in you. I will set you free because I've already done it. But it's you receiving it. It's you spending the time, spending the hours to just be in my presence. Let all other things go. Take your thoughts captive to me. Rest in me. Spend time in me. Do you hear my call today? Hear my call today. I'm calling you to a higher place. I'm calling you to more intimacy with me, because in the intimacy is the freedom. In the intimacy, all the things of the flesh yes. will fall off. So hunger, 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 and thirst after me. Surrender and spend the time. Don't think you got to come in and worship this much and hear this sermon and do this and do that, but come and spend time in my presence, not just in this place, but at your homes. No matter where you're at, set aside time to come be with me, and the things of the flesh will just disappear.
Yes.
They'll just fall off. They won't be a problem. You know why? Because you're going to be so saturated in my presence. You will be so saturated with me and my love that it won't even be there anymore. You won't desire it. You won't respond that way. You won't react that way. Instead, you'll flow in my presence.
Hallelujah.
Let me that is in you rise up and ooze into you, ooze into every part of your being. Let it just ooze into you and flow out of you, because I live in you. So let me flow and bring the change in your life. But it comes from spending time with me. turning off the TV, turning off the radio, giving up this or giving up that to have that intimacy with me, says the Lord. So spend the time and you will see such victory.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. You can only build a fire under someone so many times. And then the fire has to come from within. It has to come from within. Encouragement, like encouraging others, like, come on, man, I hadn't seen you. Or, come on, man, get on this walk with us. Or, come on, let's all say the same thing. Why the confusion? Encouragement is good. And it's encouraged by the Word of God. But did you know that encouragement has a limit? Because after that limit, then they're just living on your life support. All they are is you're an extension of your life support. And sometimes the worst thing you can do is just continue to give more life support because they're not growing at all. They're not coming out of it at all. But you're self-starters, the ones who have ears to hear. And then concerning the prophecy that just came by Marcia, the Holy Spirit. You know, one of my most favorite, one of my favorite pictures of worship is in the Song of Solomon. And it's a discourse, it's a narrative between his bride, Solomon, and his bride. And it's, if you look at everything in it, it's a pretty intimate book. It really has some intimate stuff in the natural, and then that transfers over to the spirit. It is a parallel of Christ and his church. And it's a love affair. It's what we're supposed to be in. And it's very saucy in the natural. If you were to break all that down. And it's just something that you can't do in a general congregation if you really break down every part of it. Because it's so intimate. But one part that I love is... His bride says, there are 80 and 10 men about Solomon's bed, with each one girded with a sword on his side to keep out or keep back the terror of the night. Now I'm paraphrasing. Now they weren't, the marriage chamber is for two people only, and everything else is locked out. But on the outside, there's a perfect picture of a circumference. There's a circumference of the best of what it was. His imperial guard, the royal guard, was on the outside of that part of his castle, and each man had his sword facing with his back to the bridal chamber, and they were there to protect the night. When we come into his intimacy, when we come into his fellowship, as the Holy Spirit was saying, if you divorce yourself from everything else and go after him into that place of love, there's a hedge, there's a protection. Things in your life will change. They will absolutely change. Hallelujah. Praise God. These services are profitable. We have to have them. Whew. Thank you, Jesus.
let me just exhort you over the offering, and then we'll turn you out, let you go home and enjoy your day in the Lord. Please, please, as much as you can, you can't remember what all was said with your mind. You can't, okay? But you can ask the Lord to place the obedience, the agreement with this service, that He can solidify that inside of you. And so what, I mean, obviously you'd have to listen to this service or watch it again. This probably won't go on YouTube because of the nature of it. So you'd have to listen to it. But here's what you can do. You can give yourself over to the obedience of it and say, Lord, what were a few things? There was extended I had no idea that the Lord was going to do that this morning. I had a series, and I've got two or three lessons here that's in front of me that I just can't get to. So that was the overtaking of the Holy Spirit, and then we had an exhortation, and then we had a prophecy. But they all dovetail completely together and perfectly together. But what were some of the things that the Lord said in that original prophecy that went along with the exhortation and the prophecy that we can take out of here? Somebody help me. Chamber of intimacy. I'll try to help you. Spending time. What about what He said? Let me get your mind on this. What did He say about when we come in here concerning our services? What's our mind supposed to be doing? Focusing. What'd you say, Homer? Attentive. How much? Now, this is receiving. And this was real peculiar to me. I mean, people could say, well, I think he just thought that up as he was going along. But listen, what did the Lord say that on an average basis most people get out of any service? About 10%. Does that make us think that there's a whole lot more at any given service? And so the Holy Spirit is, and then I couldn't say those things about myself, and obviously I've had no conversation with Homer like, okay, we need to tune the people up. Maybe they're not given, we don't talk like that. You know, like maybe you need to help me help them think they need to give more respect to what I'm saying. We don't have those conversations. But the Holy Spirit is saying, listen, we're all going someplace. We've got some, you know, the Holy Spirit has placed this inside of us. And it's a place where if we consolidate, if we come together, He's going to get us there. He's going to get us there. And it is through intimacy, as the Holy Spirit said through Marcia. It's just that place of giving ourselves over and over. Hallelujah. Just want you to, you can continue to play that. That's great, Harry. I appreciate that. Let me just read a few places if you want to look at it. And I won't keep you long on this because I said as it is, it's a real just. As we begin to gear our thoughts towards giving this morning, this is in the book of Acts. We've read this before. There's hardly any scriptures that we haven't read or discussed at some point. But listen, this is in the book of Acts, chapter 4, in verse 31. And it says, "And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness." Now listen, folks, whether or not we realize it, sometimes we put the Bible, and it's supposed to be such an incredible book that it's sacred, holy. But we've had the Holy Ghost come in here this morning. He really has. He's shaken this place in a certain sense. We really have had that phenomenon. And Verse 32 says, and the multitude of them that believed were of one heart. See, when you get in one heart and one soul, and only the Holy Spirit can do that, something happens. Neither said any of them that all of the things which he possessed was his own, but they all had things common. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace, everybody say great grace. And great grace was upon them. Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of land or houses sold them and brought the pieces of the prices of the things that were sold and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. Now this great grace is sandwiched right in between the Holy Spirit doing a work among them and two verses that they gave. Now, I just want to say this in just passing. The Word of God, and God is not a communist. He's not. God is not a socialist. He's not. God believes in free enterprise. In other words, he doesn't believe in this was a particular time. The ship was leaning way to one side. There was a lot of poverty. And God placed it on the hearts of people during a season to right the ship up. Now, God is a God of free enterprises. You find that throughout the entire New Testament. Paul said, if a man is lazy, I'm paraphrasing now, then he shouldn't eat. In other words, it's not up to the body to support people that don't want to go forward. Jesus said, the poor you'll have with you always. But when the ship is way over to one side in a particular need, God sometimes will right the ship, grace will come and put it on the hearts of God's people. Now, that great grace rests on our church for whatever we have need of. Because we're not trying to make the pastor rich, and we're not trying to get all of you rich. And I pray that you all walk in prosperity. But we pray for a great grace to come, that the hearts of all of us have benevolence, a heart of benevolence to say, Lord, whatever you want, mine is yours. Whatever I have, it's yours. And we speak that every Sunday night in our calling in the lost. One other example of a man that had great grace resting on his life, and there's no other place to look at that other than our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and this is also familiar, and this is in Luke chapter 8, verse 1. It says, and it came to pass afterwards that he went throughout every city and village, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with him. And certain women, which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went seven devils, and Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others which ministered unto him of their substance. Okay. This we find out about Jesus, that he did have revenue coming into his ministry on a continual basis. Now, there's argument. People could say, well, he never took up offerings. You don't see that. I don't see where he actually took up a formal offering. But that's not wrong either, because Paul also took up formal offerings, and I'm sure Paul didn't go against Jesus, even though Jesus was ascended. Paul that wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. But here's how Jesus worked. He worked under great grace. In other words, those people that we just read, and most of them, that particular scripture, were women. Thank God for gospel entrepreneur women and business women and women that can get their husbands to allow them to give, or however that was happening. But Jesus had a sponsorship. He really did. And the great grace was on him. Listen, you know this. You understand this, but I'll say it. 90% of the time, he didn't turn water into wine, and he didn't provide every meal through the breaking of, you know, the fishes and loaves, the two fishes and the loaves, the five loaves. That's not how he did it. Those were supernatural momentary miracles that shows that he can do that, and meaning he can get that over to you. But 90% of his whole life was he had to have money. And then just like John chapter 4, him at the well, and the Bible says in verse 8 that he sent, or that the disciples went into the village to buy, not to stand in there and say, we're going to go in the village and stand here and pray that somebody comes along and gives us, I like the, I don't know if it says it there, but that word victuals, I always think of victuals. We're going to pray that somebody gives us, well, sometimes if that's how low things get, okay, wonderful. But here's the deal, and I've read books, and I've cried, and I believe to the T that it's been God. I've read books where old timers, widows, and people going through things would have nothing in their cupboard, and they would set the table for four or five or six kids, and they would say, you know, how's God going to provide for this? You know, well, kids, we don't have any food. And they would set the table in preface as a miracle was coming, and the kids would all sit down, and then somebody would come knock at the door. And that's been the experience of different people that have written about that. And I know God does stuff like that. People would be at the door with bags full of groceries. That is so wonderful. Those are miracles. But that's not the fullness of who God is. Jesus exemplified the fullness of who God is when he fed the 5,000 in that supernatural miracle, and then there was a whole lot left over. God is the God of my tummy's full and there's plenty left over. God is the God, if he gets his way. Now, those kind of miracles were, you know, like I said a few weeks ago, you just had enough and you got the bill paid. That's wonderful. But God's more than that. And here's the deal. He sent his disciples away and they went and they bought. They bought. They bought using some of Susanna's money. Some of Joanna's money that they gave, because Judas had a bag full of it. He had a bag full of it. And that's the way. Listen, you got 12 men that have walked all day. They don't just sit around and eat little finger sandwiches. They went in there and bought food, as much bread as they could, and as much whatever they was available, and they had to buy it. Everybody say buy it. See, that's how you have to live. You have to buy your stuff. You have to buy your stuff. Every once in a while, you'll have those, okay, there's not enough, you know, soup in the pot. People came over. We didn't expect. God multiplied. Oh, wow, God multiplied. But most of the time, it's just 90% of the time, you got to buy it. Amen. So he's the God that will supply your need and the needs of this body. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your great grace that is upon them, upon us. We thank you for coming this morning and just doing a work in us and over us. We ask you, Lord, to take us to the next level. We ask you, we invest ourselves, Lord, in saying yes, yes to everything you've said. Lord, although we can't necessarily remember every sentence that's been said, but Lord, we say yes to it because when it was being said, it was agreeing with our hearts, and we say thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Now speak, I pray, guide our hearts. We bless this offering in this time of giving, and we bless everyone here through the precious name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Hallelujah. Did you have a good time this morning? And just a moment, I'm going to have you to stand, and as you can stand, and I'm going to ask you to bring, if you have something, please bring it forward and bless the Lord, and then you can consider yourself dismissed. God bless you. We love you. There's church tonight at 6, and we'll see many of you then. Amen.